Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 82 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to talk a lot of boys basketball today. We're going to recap Friday's Jag-Hawk showdown with some players and coaches from both sides of town. And we'll also be looking ahead to the postseason. In a little while, we'll be visiting with Centennial coach Bob Fontana, as well as two of his assistants and one of his top players. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He's an assistant coach for the Ankeny boys squad, and he has helped the Hawks to a 14-4 record. He is filling in today for head coach Brant Carlson, who is tied up tonight with a conference call to determine the seedings in Class 4A Substate 1. He is Nate Toby. Nate, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on the win last night. Your team posted a 65-58 victory at Des Moines Hoover, and that was a nice bounce-back win for you guys after Friday's loss to Centennial. But Coach Carlson told me last night that you guys, you know, weren't really dialed in from the start. What did you think of your team's performance?
Well, I think you're right. I think the start of the game has told us a lot lately about how the course of the game is going to go. And when you let a good team like Hoover stay in the game throughout the first half, you just know you're going to be in a battle the second half. So, you know, it's tough to get a lead on them because of their strong defense, because they were able to shoot the ball really well last night. But I do like how our guys responded in the third quarter and got out to a lead and just kind of maintained that through the game. So, you know, you got to learn through winning, which we definitely prefer to learning through losing. So we had some good discussions today and ready to move on to Johnston Friday.
Well, anytime you get a win on the road, you got to be happy with it, right?
That's right.
Well, I did want to break down Friday's game with you. That was just a great high school basketball game, although it obviously didn't turn out the way you guys would have wanted it to. Your team rallied from an 8-point deficit in the first half to take a 5-point lead in the second half before Centennial regained the lead and then held on for a 50-48 victory. You know, were you guys able to take some positives away from that game, though, since the Jaguars are now the number one team in 4A?
Yeah, definitely. You know, to have a couple shots to go ahead or tie the game and at the end of the fourth quarter was huge for our confidence. Obviously, you'd like them to go in, and we had chances too earlier in the game to reduce that lead of theirs that we couldn't take advantage of. So, again, we learned from it. I think it got our guys more dialed in about what we need to do against those great teams that we play in order to beat them. One thing I was really happy with was our rebounding effort in that game. You know, with Centennial size compared to ours, we know that's an uphill battle, and it wasn't the first game with, you know, McCullough having 20 rebounds and them just getting a ton of offensive rebounds. But it was nice. For the most part, we limited them to just one shot, and that allowed us to be in the game at the end.
Yeah, like you mentioned, you guys did have a chance to win it there at the end after McCullough missed a free throw with 9 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Braxton Bayless hurried the ball up the court for you guys, and then he fired a pass into the corner to Jackson Smith, and he just missed a three-point shot in the final seconds. Now, Jackson had hit a similar shot to beat Ames just a week earlier. Yeah. You know, I'm sure you'd take that shot every time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. Jackson's a very experienced player for us. He's one of our leaders. You know, that's definitely a guy we want taking that shot. And, you know, we all on the bench thought it was in just because we know Jackson, with his confidence level and with his hard work, he's put himself in a position to make that shot most of the time, and just got unlucky that it didn't go in on that particular shot.
Well, you mentioned how you guys, you know, played better against Centennial's bigs in the second meeting. In that first game, McCullough and Micah Johnson combined for 46 points and 33 rebounds. On Friday, you know, those two guys just had 17 points and 26 boards. Did you guys do anything differently against them this time?
Yeah, we really wanted to limit overall just how much they were able to touch the ball, whether that be on rebounds or, you know, them setting ball screens and receiving the ball. We just didn't want them to touch the ball in any capacity, and I felt like we had multiple guys step in and limit what they were able to do, and that was awesome to see. Noel Naughton, a senior guy, really battled, and, you know, he's at a 6 or 7 inch height disadvantage on McCullough there, and he did a great job limiting him, and like I said, other guys stepped in and did a nice job denying them the ball as well.
Well, Bayless led the way for you guys with 26 points, and he's now averaging 23.1 points per game. You know, he's been remarkably consistent this season. You know, he just brings it every night, doesn't he?
He does, and he's fun to watch and brings a lot to our team. You know, last night he had 16 rebounds, and, you know, he's driving and passing out to shooters, and he just brings a lot to the table for us. And, you know, I think he's one of the best players in the state, and just so much fun to watch him each night.
Well, your team will close out the Central Conference schedule on Friday with a game at home against Johnston. You know, I'm sure you won't have to remind the guys of what happened the last time you faced the Dragons. In the game over there last month, your team got into a 19-point hole before rallying for an 80-74 victory. You know, that was just an amazing comeback, wasn't it?
It was. And, you know, unfortunately, we've had a few games like that that are, where we get down and have to make it come back. And we've talked a lot about lately just how we start the game and getting out to a lead and how different that can make the game when you have a lead. So hopefully we're able to make some adjustments this time and get out to a lead on him and keep that building throughout the game. But it'll be hard. You know, in the last game, Trey Lewis didn't play for Johnston, and, you know, he's one of their best players. He'll be back Friday. So it'll be a big challenge for us, but really the perfect game for this part of the season to gauge where we're at with some things.
Well, yeah, I know Johnston's been playing well of late, too. I think they've won like five out of their last six.
Yeah. Yeah, they just beat Southeast Polk last night in a huge game, so they'll be ready to go.
Well, Friday's game is probably the toughest one of the three that you have remaining. Next week you'll play on Tuesday at Des Moines East, which is yet to win a game, and then you'll host Mason City in your regular season finale on February 1st. The Mohawks are currently 6-11. So with these three games left, what are some areas where you hope to improve before the start of postseason play?
Yeah, like we've already talked about, it's how you start the game. It's getting out to a lead instead of having to come from behind. And it's things we talked about all season. It's shot selection, it's rebounding, and really just learning, continuing to learn how to play together. You know, I still feel like we're incorporating some younger players with Ryan Crandall and Braden Simonson and just trying to, you know, fully get them into our team concept still with our senior leadership. It is great to have three games left to do all of those things and continue to build on the progress that we made.
Well, I mentioned at the top of the podcast that Coach Carlson is busy with the seed meeting tonight. You guys are placed in Substate 1 along with Ames, Fort Dodge, and the three Sioux City schools. Now, your team and Sioux City East are both 14-4 in the season, which are by far the best records in your Substate. So it appears that the battle for the number one seed in your Substate is between you and the Black Raiders. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, that is. And I think Sioux City East is a really strong team. We've already started watching them. And, you know, Ames and Sioux City West are playing well, too. So it'll be a battle to get to state, but that's something we've talked about all season as our ultimate goal, and we want to finish the season on a strong note and really put ourselves in a better position than we did last year to make a run in our Substate tournament.
Now, I'm sure some people listening, you know, might be wondering if it's really that big of a deal whether you're the number one or number two seed, you know, but there certainly is, you know, because in the opening round you have a 1-6 matchup, 2-5, 3-4, you know, so forth.
Yeah.
But if you are the number one seed, you know, you get that bye in the second round. So that's really huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it is nice to have that bye. That's something since I've been at Ankeny that we haven't had, and it is a luxury to be able to prepare and have more time to prepare for certain teams. And then also you get more rest for your guys at the end of the season, which is huge. So, yeah, it'll be big to have that bye, hopefully, and it'll be nice tonight to know who our options are to play out of that first round.
Well, it appears that your first round matchup will be against either Fort Dodge or Sioux City North. Both of those teams right now have either one or two wins. You know, do you have a preference on who you play there? I mean, you guys did play Fort Dodge earlier, so would that make the preparation easier?
So, we have no preference. I think I like having a familiarity factor just because I scout a lot of the games and you're able to learn from that head-to-head matchup. But really, we're open to playing anybody. It'll be very nice that game will be at home. We've played very well at home traditionally. So, we're excited about any opportunity that's in front of us, and we welcome that.
Well, if you guys were able to meet Sioux City East eventually, you said you've started to take a look at them a little bit. I mean, on paper, it looks like it'd be a pretty good matchup because they've got three pretty good perimeter players, don't they?
Yeah, if you look at their stats, they're a pretty similar team to us. They play fast. They have really good guards. And they do a lot of the same things offensively that we like to do. So I think it would be a great game. I think it'd be really entertaining. And if we get to that point, it'll be awesome. And I think our guys will be ready for the task.
Well, I'm sure you'd take, you know, your three-guard backcourt over any other team, wouldn't you?
Yeah, those guys are awesome and great two-way players and have shown a lot of great leadership and progress on everything we've asked them to do this season.
Well, Coach Carlson has told me that your team struggles, you know, sometimes against opponents with a lot of size. Two of your losses were to Centennial, which has the two outstanding post players inside. Your other losses were to Dallin Catholic early in the season when Braxton was still serving his suspension. And then you also lost to a 6-10 Roosevelt team on January 28th, which is really your only bad loss. You know, so do you feel like this team, if it can avoid having to play some really big teams in the postseason, do you think you can make, you know, a run to the tournament and perhaps contend for the title?
Yeah, I think we've also played well against big teams in the past, Dan. So I think it's kind of hard to tell. It's all about our matchups and also what the other team is trying to take advantage of. And, our guys are not intimidated by size or anything like that. And when we've played schools out of our area, in certain situations, our guys have really been up to the task and done a great job with it and aren't really intimidated, because through AAU and different opportunities, they've played a lot of these guys before. So there's some familiarity there, and our guys don't really get intimidated with, you know, certain environments. So they're up to it, and hopefully we get that opportunity on the road to state, and you know, we're looking forward to that.
Well, Nate, I'm going to finish up with you by asking you to make a prediction. Some of our listeners might be aware that you've been the winner of the last two Ankeny Fanatic contests. You won the NCAA tournament pool last year and then the college bowl pool that we just did recently. So you know how to pick winners. You know, just for the sake of argument, you know, let's take your team out of the equation, because I'm sure if you had to pick a state champion, you'd probably go with your team. Yeah. But just taking all the other teams into consideration, you know, who do you think's the team to beat this year?
I think there's a really strong group of, you know, six or seven teams that will really contend. And watching a lot of these games, there's not really one team for me that stands out. Again, I think it'll be a lot about matchups at state. I think Centennial will put themselves in a great position to do it. I really like watching Iowa City West and just how they execute and play defense. And Cedar Falls is the same way. So I think, you know, out of those three teams, and then you add Dubuque Senior, and there's just a lot of really experienced and, you know, great coaching that is happening right now in 4A. So I don't really see that one team that's standing out right now. It'll be interesting to monitor the substates to see how teams are doing. There's always an upset or two in 4A, so it'll be interesting to watch that and be able to see, you know, who's looking good towards the end of the substate play.
Well, it seems like it might be a little more wide open this year, because in some of these recent years, you know, Iowa City West or Cedar Falls just kind of mowed through the field and really just dominated, haven't they?
Yeah, and a lot of those Eastern schools have beat each other. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see who comes out of some of their substates, because, you know, a lot of those teams have played each other and are 1-1 against each other, or, you know, have lost. So we'll see what happens, but I think it'll be a great year down at state for 4A and for other classes too.
All right, Nate, well, thanks a lot for coming then. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is a senior guard for the Hawks. He is the team's second leading scorer with an average of 15.5 points per game. He leads the team with 33 three-pointers and is shooting 35.5% from behind the arc. He is Jackson Smith. Jackson, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on the win over Hoover last night. I know this, you know, isn't a vintage Hoover squad, but they've still got some young, talented players. You know, anytime you can win on the road in the CIML, you'll take it, won't you?
Yeah, we'll take it. Most of us around, we had a loss sophomore year to them off a buzzer beater, so it was good to go back there and get a win.
Well, let's go back to Friday night's game. You know, it was obviously a game that went down to the wire and could have gone either way. You had a look from three-point range in the final seconds that could have won the game. You know, did the shot feel good when it left your hands? It didn't look like it missed by much.
It did feel good. It was probably one of the only shots that game that felt good coming off. It was a tough miss, but my teammates trust me to take those shots, so...
We've certainly proven in some other games that you can make those shots, so I can see why they trust you. Well, even though you guys lost, you know, did you take some positives away from that game since you played the state's number one team down to the final buzzer?
Yeah, I think there's always something good to take away off every game, win or lose. You know, we swept them last year, and they beat us 2-0 this year. We'll probably get another chance to look at them in state, hopefully.
Well, Jackson, you've certainly had, you know, a very good year with some clutch moments in big games. You hit a couple free throws in the final seconds in overtime to beat Des Moines Lincoln early in the season, and then you had the late three-pointer to beat Ames on January 31st. Do you like getting the ball in those pressure situations?
I would say I do like it. Having the ball in my hands, it's just that extra bit of confidence that I can decide how the game goes.
Well, your backcourt mate, Braxton, has also had a great year. I know you guys have been playing together for a long time. Do you think the chemistry that the two of you have has been a big reason for your team's success this year?
It has definitely been a part of it. It's not just our chemistry, though. I feel like we all have chemistry with each other, just being around, being able to joke with each other. But, yeah, me and Braxton have been playing probably since fifth grade basketball. Mm-hmm. We used to live with each other, so I think I know what he likes to do. He knows what I like to do. So just having that is just always an extra weapon to use.
It just seems like you guys know where each other is on the court, even if you don't see each other. Well, last year you guys posted a 13-8 record, but then you lost Dylan Carlson to graduation, and of course Jerron Cruz moved across town to Centennial. So your team certainly had some question marks going into this season. You know, did you think this team had the potential to be as good as it's turned out to be?
Yeah, we always thought from day one that we had what it takes. Every year we think that. And losing those guys, yeah, it has some negatives, but also has some positives. Younger guys to step up. No one really knows what they can do outside of us. It's just a little extra weapon to use.
Well, you guys got off to a 9-1 start that included a huge win at Dowling Catholic on January 14th. Do you think that win kind of showed you guys that you had the potential to be an elite team?
It really did. Losing them early, getting Braxton back, being able to go there and beat them, it just proved, I think, to everyone that we have what it takes. We might be smaller, but we just have it in us to compete.
Well, we talked with Coach Toby earlier about your upcoming schedule. It looks like you have a good chance to close out the regular season with three more wins. You know, but regardless of the outcome of those games, what things do you think the team needs to improve on before tournament play?
I would say it's just our communication on the court. Outside the court, we talk. We know what we need to do. Getting into some games, when it gets tense, we tend to not really talk it out on the court. But once we get that down, it'll be scary.
Well, we broke down the sub-state bracket with Coach Toby as well. And, of course, you know, we don't know the exact pairings yet. But what was your reaction when you saw the sub-state assignment? Did you feel like it was a pretty good draw for you guys?
It was a pretty good draw. We've been paired up with some pretty elite teams the past 2 years. So to get this, we're just looking to take advantage of it and not take anyone for granted.
Well, Braxton told me after Friday's game that hopefully you guys will get a third chance to play Centennial. And, of course, if that happens, it would be at the state tournament. Now, Centennial will certainly be the number one seed in its sub-state, so the Jaguars appear to have a good chance to make it to state. You know, how much would you like another crack at them?
Oh, I would love it. We all would love it. Just being able to compete against them, which I think our games against them really shows, like, the best of our team. So being able to just go out there and put the best of our abilities against a rival would be something special.
Well, if you guys can make it to state, you know, what would that mean to you to finish your high school career at the Well?
It would ultimately be my probably best experience of my life so far. I haven't been there. It's really all I've been thinking about these past 3 years. So it'd mean the world to me.
Well, Coach Carlson, you know, has mentioned that you guys struggle sometimes against the bigger teams. But if you can get down to Des Moines, do you think it would be an advantage for you guys to play on that bigger court?
Yeah, it would. Our speed and... yeah, really just our speed and quickness. It really catches teams off guard. We can off makes, misses. It really doesn't matter. Once we get the ball up the court, not many teams can stop us.
Well, I know you've played at the Well before. Last season, you guys beat Ottumwa there in a regular season game. And I looked it up, and you went 5-for-14 in that game and scored 11 points. Did it take you a while to adjust to the shooting background there?
It did. It was a rough shooting night. It's definitely a different environment, much more space. I'm not going to lie, the lights, the bright lights there, it just can get to you, I guess.
Well, Jackson, I know you've been talking to some schools and you've had some coaches looking at you. Where are you at in the recruiting process? Are you getting close to making a decision?
I would not say I'm getting close. The interest is definitely building up. I'll probably end up looking at JUCOs, stuff like that.
Sure. Well, I know your brother Jalen went through the same process a few years ago and he decided to go the JUCO route. You know, has he given you any advice on how to handle it?
Yeah, he really opened my eyes to where it doesn't really matter where I play as long as I get another year to play, and I like it there, and just being able to do what I love is just, it's going to be great.
Sure. Well, Jackson, I just wanted to ask you about one other thing. Of course, we recently lost NBA legend Kobe Bryant in a tragic helicopter crash a couple of weeks ago. Now, you would have been pretty young during the prime of Kobe's career, but I'm sure you know got a chance to see him play later on. You know, were you much of a fan of his, and what are you going to remember about him?
I was a fan of his. I always liked my favorite player is LeBron. So getting to watch those LeBron Kobe battles as a young kid, it was something special. I would say the thing I'm gonna miss most about him is just the energy and the edge he brought to the game when he played. He stepped on that court. It didn't matter if he was doing good or his teammates were doing good, as long as he just wanted to win at the end of the day. So having that mentality is something.
Yeah, he was just an assassin out there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was pretty cool the other night when LeBron did the dunk, the same dunk that Kobe had done, you know, like 19 years before. That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, something special.
Well, Jackson, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Good luck on Friday.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iber Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, Forever Young Photo Facials, Halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, my next guest is the head coach of the top-ranked Ankeny Centennial boys team. He has guided the Jaguars to an 18-1 record, the best start in school history, and he recently earned his 400th career victory. He is Bob Fontana. Bob, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. We're doing good tonight, other than the weather.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on the win last night. You guys rolled to a 97-61 victory up at Mason City, and that's a team that's obviously been struggling. But what did you think of your team's performance?
Well, you know, offensively, we were very efficient last night. Anytime you have 30 assists, obviously there's been great ball movement and sharing of the ball and that. So offensively, you know, I was pretty happy. Defensively, we were pretty inconsistent. And that's where we got to really focus at and getting better if we're going to go deep into the postseason.
Well, Bob, if I remember right, you told me in the offseason that you thought this team, you know, had the potential to be maybe your third best team that you've had at Centennial following your first two squads that posted records of 17-5 and 19-4. So has this team exceeded your expectations?
You know, we had high expectations, and the reason I said that is because the schedule that we're playing this year was a little bit more difficult than the schedule we played the first 2 years. So as far as, you know, it's tough to compare teams, but I will say this. This team has answered every challenge that's been thrown at us. And so, yeah, we've met expectations, and we know that we have challenges that lie ahead of us, and we look at those as opportunities. Just as much as there are challenges.
Well, your team is now ranked number one after the previous number one, Iowa City West, lost to Cedar Falls on Saturday. Now, I know you had some really good teams over at Cedar Rapids Kennedy before you came to Centennial. Have you ever had a number one ranked team before?
Yeah, this actually is the fourth team I've coached that's been ranked number one. We had three at Kennedy that were ranked number one, you know, for maybe a couple weeks, and all those teams finished third in the state. So, you know, it's nice to get the recognition. That means that we're obviously our guys are doing some good things. But what's most important to us is winning against Urbandale Friday night and winning two games next week and then doing our best to get down to Wells Fargo where anything can happen.
Do you think that's going to put any extra pressure on you guys?
You know, no. We haven't even really talked about pressure. And I'll say this. I would say let's welcome pressure because you know what? That means we're doing great things. And but our guys have been very good and We haven't really talked about that. So we continually talk about let's get better today, let's get better defensively, and take one day at a time.
Well, let's go back to Friday night's game. You guys survived a last-second three-point shot by Jackson Smith that could have won the game for Ankeny, and that was your first win this season by fewer than 8 points. Do you think that was good for you guys, though, to experience a close game like that that went down to the wire?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, especially in the type of environment it was in. I mean, great crowd, two teams that played extremely hard, two teams that got some very talented players. So, and what else that you like about that as a coach, as long as you come out on the winning end, is it's towards the end of the season too, where they maybe each game means a little bit more. So, yeah, that was a great environment to get that win in. So, that was good.
Well, Ankeny obviously did a better job on your bigs than they did in the first game. They held Cody McCullough to just 4 points, although he did match the Hawks' total with 19 rebounds, and he had just one field goal attempt in the game. What did they do differently to slow him down?
Well, I just think that you know, coaching the game with the naked eye and then watching the film afterwards, too, is, you know, they put more guys in the lane, and they laid off one of our perimeter guys. And so we tried to do some stuff a little bit differently in the second half, and, it worked for a little bit, but then we had to go to different things. You know, I thought we had some other guys step up, you know, on both ends of the floor to you know, I guess, counter that. So, they had a good game plan and did a good job on our bigs. I know Micah got off to a good start for us, which was good. It was huge.
Well, yeah, Micah had 13 points and 7 rebounds, and Jerron had 25 points against his former team. And I'm sure you'd like to see that any time a team, you know, slows down one of your players, you have other guys step up.
Well, that's the beauty of our team this year. You look at any of our starters – and, you know, you've seen us play, like, over at Waukee, Preston has 23 and Jerron has 5. Against Ankeny, Jerron has 25 and Preston has 4. All right? One game, Micah might have 22 and, you know, and Cody has 4. And then the first time we play Ankeny, Cody has 29 and 20 rebounds. I mean, so that's the beauty of our team, is we got multiple guys that can do things for us offensively.
Well, I know you guys also made some defensive adjustments in the second half in an effort to slow down Braxton Bayless, who had 20 points in the first half. You played some zone in that second half, and that helped to hold him to just 6 points in the last two periods. Now, you guys tried to defend him in the first half, you know, man-to-man, but he's almost impossible to keep away from the rack in that situation, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I'd say impossible, but I would say very difficult. He's explosive, and the good thing about him as an individual is he plays at about three different speeds, and he knows when to change those speeds. We had some defensive miscues where guys were out of position that were supposed to be helping, and we made one adjustment in our man defense, and then we made the adjustment when we went to our matchup zone. So those were big for us, and they paid off.
Well, your team now has a 12-game winning streak heading into Friday's game against Urbandale. You guys have already clinched the outright CIML Central Conference title, so there's not much riding on these last three games. You know, what's going to be the focus in these last three games? Will you just be trying to fine-tune some things for the postseason?
Well, the one thing I would say is, there is a lot riding on the game, and hopefully our players feel the same way. Because Friday night, senior night, we've won the conference, but we want to finish 9-1 in the conference, not 8-2. And we know that last time we played against Urbandale, we didn't play our best basketball, and we know they're very scrappy. They're hard-nosed, they're guard-oriented, and they were tied with us at half, and they actually took a lead in the second half. And we won by 10, but that might not be indicative of how close a game it was. So we got to be at our best, because the last thing we want to do is get knocked off on our home court on senior night.
Sure. Well, after Friday's game, you'll play at Fort Dodge on Tuesday, and that's a team with just two wins. And then you'll host Des Moines Lincoln, your regular season finale, on February 21st. Lincoln's had a decent year. They're currently 11-7, but, you know, that might be your toughest game in the final 2 weeks. Are you concerned at all that maybe you won't be tested that much in these last 2 weeks?
No, because I think we'll get tested Friday night, and I think, you know, you go up to Fort Dodge, they're scrappy, hard-nosed kids. They were tied with Valley going into the fourth quarter that night up at Fort Dodge. The challenge there is, hey, can you go on the road and validate who we are? And then Friday, you know, playing against Lincoln, their starting five is very scrappy, they're very good. So that'll test us. So, and then the challenge is, you know, we got to be able to compete against ourselves in practice, too. We can't take nights off.
Well, I know Ankeny is having their seed meeting tonight via conference call. So when are you guys having your seed meeting, or have you had it already?
We already had it earlier today.
Okay, and you probably can't talk about it, right?
We're the number one seed. That's all I can say.
Okay. Well, I did want to get into that with you a little bit here, so let's see what you can or can't say, but you let me know. Well, you guys have been placed in Substate 6 along with East, Roosevelt, Indianola, Johnston, and Southeast Polk. You know, I know Indianola's had a good season. They're currently 15-3 and tied for 9th in the rankings, but like you said, you guys are the number one seed. And with your record and your resume, there probably wasn't much debate, was there?
No, there wasn't much debate who was number one. There was some discussion over who 2, 3, and 4 were going to be, and that'll be released on Friday. But, you know, the thing I will say is I admire the state that they broke up Council Bluffs and Sioux City. But yet, I myself and some other coaches in our league found it interesting that maybe the two teams with the two best records maybe got two of the tougher substates and a couple other teams got easier substates, but
right.
You know, whatever. You got to beat them all to get there anyway. So
right. Well, looking at the other teams in your substate, I'm guessing you guys are going to be playing East then, right?
No, that's not how it works out. We have a bye.
Oh, so you get the bye in the first round and not the second round?
We wish that they'd go back that old way. So then everybody's playing that first night out. So we get a bye. The 2 seed gets a bye. So we'll play the winner of the 4 and 5 seed.
Gotcha.
So the first round's on Monday night, and then the semifinals on Friday night. So we'll play whoever wins between 4 and 5, we'll play them at our place on Friday night. And then the substate finals the following Tuesday at a site to be determined.
Okay. Well, Indianola is certainly a team that you could see at some point there. Do you know much about them yet?
We scrimmaged them at Thanksgiving. They've got 4 guys that can shoot it. They're well coached. They're not overly big. They run, I mean, close to, and people always go, what? When I say this, they run 9 to 10 different defenses.
Hmm.
And so we just got to be the best version of ourselves if we end up running into them. So I'll get a chance to see them play tomorrow night. They have a game tomorrow night.
Okay.
And so then they play Polk next Tuesday night, but we'll be up in Fort Dodge.
Oh, okay. Well, and those other teams in your bracket, you can't overlook them either. I mean, I know Polk's really come on strong, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. See, when we played them first game of the season, they didn't have the 2 transfers eligible yet.
Mm-hmm.
And those two guys provide athleticism for him. And they one is very athletic and is a perimeter player. The other one's a 6'8 kid inside. And when he became eligible and they beat Valley, he had 18 points, 16 boards, and 4 block shots. So, and they'll be at full strength. So, you know, if we play them, that's going to be a handful.
And I think Johnston's won 6 of their last 7. They're really coming on too, right?
Yeah, they are. You know, you got to remember, they were preseason ranked, I don't know, 6th in the state or whatever. So, but, you know, rankings, whatever. We weren't even preseason rated.
Right. Well, where do you feel like you guys, you know, still need to make improvements in the next couple of weeks to get ready for the tournament?
Defensively. We got to get more consistent defensively. Offensively, we've been, you know, we've shared the ball real well. We've taken care of it. Like last night, 30 assists. And then last night, until I cleared the bench, we were 12 of 16 from three-point range last night. And so I think any coach will take that any night at the end of the week.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you guys are able to make it to state, and I guess this would be a nice problem to have, but are you concerned at all about your team's lack of state tournament experience? Because you could be running into some teams like Iowa City, West Cedar Falls down there that have a lot of experience.
No, I'm not concerned about that. So I've coached there before, and we played their last year in regular season game. So I know it's the old Hoosiers thing, but hey, the baskets are still 10 foot tall and the court's still the same size. So
do you think at this point, do you think there's a favorite to win the Class 4A title? Or do you think it's going to be pretty wide open?
I think it's going to be wide open. I think you could see 4 or 5 teams out of our league having the opportunity to win it. I think you've got 3 or 4 teams out of the Mississippi Valley Conference that could win it. And then clear out east, I don't know. That league's not as deep this year, but North Scott's a top dog out there. So.
Well, it should be fun.
Yeah.
All right, Bob, thanks for coming tonight. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Yep. All right, my next guest is a senior forward on the Centennial squad. He is the team's second leading scorer and rebounder, averaging 12.5 points and 6.7 boards per game. And he is committed to play for Missouri S&T next season. He is Micah Johnson. Micah, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win last night. You know, what did you think of your team's performance?
I thought it was pretty good. We came out, probably didn't play as much, as hard as we could have, but halftime, we kind of turned it around. We knew that we were playing a little sluggish, so we wanted to turn it up, and that's exactly what we did.
Well, coming off with a big win at Ankeny and then taking a long bus ride up to Mason City, was it a bit of a challenge to get up for that game?
I wouldn't say it was that much of a challenge. We knew that it was going to be a long car ride, and we knew that it was going to be adversity, but we were handled, and we were ready for it. So
we probably didn't expect to score 97 points, though, did you?
No, not 97.
Well, I'd look it up today. You guys tied the school record for most points, you know, in a game in school history, so that's pretty impressive. Well, let's go back to Friday's game. We mentioned earlier that you had 13 points and 7 rebounds in the win over the Hawks. You also hit a huge three-pointer with about 5 minutes left to give your team the lead for good. You're now 9 of 16 for the season from behind the arc. You know, so clearly you're shooting the ball from the perimeter with a lot of confidence, aren't you?
Yeah, it was a big focus over the off season to improve three-point shooting, just not for the whole team, but for me personally too. So, yeah, that was just a big focus. So,
well, if you're going to shoot over 50% from behind the arc, you might have to get coached to give you some more shots, huh? Well, your team played a lot of zone in the second half, and that helped to limit Braxton Bayless to just 6 points over the last two periods. You know, did the zone make it easier for you guys to stop his dribble penetration?
Yeah, it was huge. We knew that he was a big slasher, so we had to, you know, just clog the lane. But we can't give up open looks or threes on that team either, because we all knew that they were a good shooting team. So that was a big effort. So,
well, you guys did have to hold off the Hawks down the stretch, and they had a chance to win it there at the end on Jackson Smith's three-pointer. What was going through your mind when he took that shot?
Not to foul him. Not to give him easy points, so, but contest it good enough where he wouldn't get an easy shot.
Well, the win wrapped up the CIML Central Conference title for you guys, and I know that's not your ultimate goal, but this is the first league crown for the Jaguars since 2015. You know, how's it feel to be conference champs?
Awesome. It feels really good, especially turnaround, so.
Well, you guys have only lost the one game this season, and that was a 68-55 decision at Dowling on January 3rd. Since then, you've reeled off 12 straight wins. What did you guys learn from that loss?
We knew that we played pretty sluggish that game. We didn't play exactly like ourselves. We knew that we can't take anything for granted. You know, we were undefeated at that point, so we knew not to get like a big head or anything. So we know to play hard no matter who we're playing, and just to take the challenge. So,
well, one of your team's most impressive wins came on January 28th at then number one Waukee, where you posted a 78-70 victory. You know, do you think that win showed that, you know, your team is state championship caliber?
Definitely, but you know, every team is still a challenge no matter who we play, so it's nice to get those wins against those big teams, though. I was just proud that we all played as hard as we could. So,
Well, last year you guys had a 9-13 record. You returned the bulk of your team, you know, this season. Plus, you did add a key piece in Jerron Cruz. But did you have any idea, though, that, you know, that your team would be this good?
I thought so. I mean, we were confident coming in, but we all knew what happened last year, and we just didn't want that to happen again. So we knew that we had to turn it up and start playing harder. And, you know, it was nice having Jerron there, too. But you know, we were all excited to play again this season. So.
Well, Jerron has obviously helped you guys tremendously, but I think the improvement of the returning players has been just as critical to the team's success. You and Cody are currently averaging about 25 points and 19 rebounds per game. Do you feel like you guys are the best duo in the state as far as, you know, the post players?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen anybody that can compete with you guys. So. Well, Mike, we discussed your team's sub-state bracket with Coach earlier. What was your reaction when you saw the sub-state assignment? You know, do you think you guys got a pretty good draw?
I think no matter who you get, it's postseason, so it doesn't matter who you get. Every team's going to want to play as hard as they can to win. I mean, everyone wants to go to state, so I thought no matter who we were going to get, that we can't overlook anyone. We can't think down about ourselves. We just have to play confident, play our game, and we'll be ready. So.
Well, I know the goal at the beginning of the season, you know, was to qualify for state, which would be the school's first trip ever to Wells Fargo Arena. But considering where you guys are now, you know, I'm guessing just getting to state's not going to be enough for you guys. You guys want to win it all, don't you?
Yeah, but like I said before, and like I was saying, we got to focus on sub-state first. We got to win that before we can look ahead. So,
well, what do you think are going to be the keys for this team, you know, to reach its ceiling?
Well, Coach was talking about our defense, and I have to agree wholeheartedly. You know, we got to play some. We got to pick up the intensity on some defense, and that's just kind of our main focus right now. If we can pick that up, then I think we're a lot better of a team. So,
yeah, they say defense wins championships, right?
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Well, hey, Micah, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa home buyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time home buyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending and the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products that can handle all of your loan needs. Well, my next guest is in his first season as an assistant coach for the Centennial team. He was a standout for the Jaguars from 2013 to 15, and he went on to win a junior college national championship at Kirkwood before completing his college career at William Jewell. He is Byron Hart. Byron, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Hey, Dan, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, you bet. Well, you seem to have really good timing. You know, after graduating from Centennial, you moved on to Kirkwood, and you immediately became a national champion. You know, now you've decided to get into coaching in your first season here. You know, the Jaguars are having the best season in school history. Are you just generally a lucky person or what?
Nah. It's all the players. I haven't scored a single basket this year, so it all comes down to them.
Well, you obviously know what it's like to play on a championship team, having gone through that experience at Kirkwood. How often have you drawn upon those experiences this year?
Oh, almost every week. You know, I've been through it. I know what it takes to be a champion. So, I'm trying to give that back to the guys, and they're doing an amazing job every day in practice. They come and compete, and they have every single guy on the team has championship characteristics. So,
now, did you always know that you wanted to get into coaching, or was that just something that kind of came up in the last year?
No, that is definitely something that I've always wanted to do. Basketball has always been my biggest passion and what really drives me, and so coaching is something I've always wanted to do.
Well, what has the experience been like for you? Is it about what you expected, or have you been surprised by some aspects of it?
It's been better than I could even imagine. At the beginning, it was kind of tough just because I wanted to be on the court and not really coaching, but I've really gotten used to it, and it's been really great because I've been coaching with an outstanding team and then also a really good staff, so I'm really thankful to be where I'm at.
We obviously played for Coach Fontana at Centennial, so you already knew what his coaching style was like. Do you think that made the transition to coaching easier for you?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really comfortable with Coach Fontana. He's always been someone I've looked up to and someone that's been there for me, so it's been really nice being able to coach with him.
So what are your primary responsibilities during practice? Are there certain areas that you focus on?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I do the ball handling and skill work at the beginning of practice, and then throughout practice I'm either running with the scout team or anything he really asking me. I'm really there just to be, you know, just as positive as possible throughout practice.
Now, do you get involved with the scouting much?
Yeah, I do. Yep, I do.
All right. Well, as a former point guard, I'm sure Coach Fontana has relied on you to help with Jerron Cruz's development quite a bit. Now, before you joined the staff, had you worked with him at all? Were you even familiar with his game?
Yeah, I actually did know of him before my senior year of going to Jewell. He was working out with Corey and Cole up at Myers Hoops, and I actually was going up against him, and he was sticking a really good D on me, and I was like, wow, this guy's only a sophomore. He's going to have a really good career. So it's been awesome being able to work with Jerron. He's an amazing kid. He works really hard, and he's deserved everything that's came towards his way.
Well, he's certainly having a great year. He's averaging a team-high 15.2 points and 4.3 assists per game. And last night he set a school record for most assists in a game with 14. You know, where have you seen the greatest growth in his game since the beginning of the season?
Just right there, what you said with the assists. It's crazy how well he's slowed down and seen the court and really has looked for his teammates, which really helps our team out a lot just because Micah and Cody, you know, I don't think anyone in the state can guard them inside. So when he's attacking downhill and getting to the paint, I think we're really tough to guard.
Well, we talked to Coach Fontana earlier about how this team, you know, might rank among the best teams that he's had here. You played on those first two Centennial teams that combined for a 36-9 record, but were not able to reach the state tournament. How do you think this year's team compares to the ones that you played on?
Oh, it's pretty similar. It's pretty crazy how actually similar we are. You know, my senior year, every guy, you never know, like Coach was saying earlier, could be my night, could have been Burns' night, could have been Schoen's night, could have been Broncos' night. So I think that's the best type of basketball to play, is where you never know who's going to be the guy that night. Anyone can give you buckets.
Well, it seems like it'd be a pretty good matchup. You know, your team's had the two bigs and the three, you know, good players on the perimeter, just like, you know, this team has. So it seems like it'd be a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, it's really similar. It's actually kind of scary how similar it is.
Well, you obviously aren't too far removed from your own playing days. You know, you mentioned that you get out there and run with the scout team some, so you still get to play a little bit then in practice?
Yeah. I jump out there sometimes when needed, and it's pretty fun. Keeps my cardio up, and I love playing basketball. I'm going to play it till I can't walk anymore.
Yeah. Well, I still play a little bit. I'm in my 50s, so yeah, you get to my age, it's kind of hard to walk anymore.
Yeah.
Well, Byron, from what you've seen this year, you know, do you feel like this team has championship potential?
Oh, absolutely. They, like I said earlier, they have championship characteristics. They bring it every day in practice, which really impresses me the most. The guys on this team are way more mature beyond their years, and it's really fun to be around.
Well, how far do you want to take this coaching thing? Do you think you'd like to be a head coach someday?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I definitely want to keep working my way up and go to get to the college game, maybe even NBA someday, because I watch NBA every day, and that's my favorite level of basketball. But right now I'm just trying to focus on winning a championship and taking each day by day.
Well, I'll ask you the same question I asked Jackson Smith earlier when he was in here. Of course, we lost Kobe a couple weeks ago. Were you a big fan of Kobe growing up?
Yeah, I was really hurt. He was my inspiration. I got to meet him. I went to the second to last game ever, got a picture with him, and I was really hurt. I couldn't even watch highlights or couldn't even watch NBA for 3 days after it happened, but I'm back watching it now again, and I'm trying to use his death as motivation for my everyday life.
Sure. How are you going to remember him as a player?
Oh, just the hardest worker there is on the court, and his tenacity, just to his will to win, you know, he just brought the best out of everyone, and his competitiveness, every day he brought it.
Yeah. Well, Byron, thanks a lot for coming tonight. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They'll help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs when you are buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance. Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my final guest tonight is also an assistant coach for the Centennial squad. He's been a fixture on Coach Fontana's staff for the last several years. He is Ben Lamock. Ben, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Hey, good, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we talk some hoops with you, I want to talk a little football with you. I know you played at Iowa State under Coach Paul Rhodes. You started 43 games in your career and were second team All Big 12 as a senior in 2010. Now, when I was doing some research on you, I found some things, you know, online that talked about you getting ready for the draft that year. So did you get a little taste of the NFL?
I did. I had the opportunity to go out and to play at the Oakland Raiders. Unfortunately, that was the year of the lockout, so we didn't get to partake in any of the normal stuff they do now with the OTAs and all the stuff they did to get prepared for the season. So I basically showed up 2 days before practice started and was handed my playbook and said, here you go. So it was quite the experience.
So is that kind of the end of it then, when they had the lockout? Or?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I still practice every day. I was part of, you know, some of the last cuts, which was tough. I mean, I think I was put, you know, in a tough spot when you don't get to come in there and I guess be a part of the team for the entire summer like some of the guys do now. So it was a tough spot, but I mean, I enjoyed the experience. I think I got that full picture of how the NFL is a business, you know, how good those players really are. And I'm just a small town guy from Iowa, you know, I had one Division I offer. So it was pretty cool to see how far that journey took me. So.
Sure. Well, Iowa State's gone to three straight bowl games now under Coach Matt Campbell. Are you pretty happy with the state of the program right now?
I am. It's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I think at first when your head coach gets fired, it's different. But obviously, you know, Iowa State's, you know, kind of in our blood, so you want to support, you know, who the head coach is. So it's really exciting to see, you know, what they're doing now, and I still try to make it to every game I can. You know, I got to go to the bowl game, which was really fun. So yeah, it still runs in me, you know. Oh, Saturday man. Mornings, you know, it's kind of the first thing I wake up and get the fight song going, and I have two young boys, so get them dressed up in their little outfits and get their football helmet on and just try to enjoy the game.
Sure. Well, Ben, I know you went to Cedar Rapids Kennedy where you were a football standout, and I believe you also played basketball there for Coach Fontana. So was it that connection that led you to becoming a part of his staff?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think that's where it started. I think actually on the way over here, I was thinking, I think I've known Coach Fontana for 20 years now. So we moved to Cedar Rapids when I was 12. So yeah, that's kind of where it started. Played a lot of basketball. Then obviously with the NFL stuff, I had always enjoyed Ankeny with my time, you know, in Ames. So I moved down here. And then Coach Fontana happened to get the Centennial job, so I just reached out to him and said, hey, I'd be interested if you had any jobs. So that's kind of where it led. Obviously, I was really familiar with the system and then kind of what he wanted to get accomplished. So, yep, it was kind of a perfect fit, just right time, right place.
Sure. Now, what kind of a basketball player? Were you kind of an enforcer?
Well, Dan, I'm going to try to put this as humble as I can, okay? When my senior year, I think I was first-team All-State. I averaged 22.9 points, I think 11.8 rebounds. I think we were 19-3. We lost to Linmar by one in the sub-state game. I think they had five Division I players. But, you know, basketball's kind of always been my first love, and it's kind of a family affair. Both of my parents, played on those legendary Wall Lakeview Auburn teams. Back in the 70s, both my brothers were All-State players. My younger brother played at Mount Mercy. Was an all-conference player there. They made it to two national championships. So kind of a I don't think people expect that a lot from me, but I haven't always been this big, and yeah. You know, but yeah, basketball is kind of always my first love. So I get that question a lot. You know, why don't you coach football? Well, you know, I think, you know, I've always enjoyed basketball. I've always loved it. I've always loved doing something in the winter. So that's kind of a fun fact, I guess, that a lot of people don't really know about.
Well, 22-11, you must have been a double-double machine, man.
Yeah, it was different back then, Dan. You know, they only had two referees, so you kind of get away with whatever you wanted to in the lane. So,
well, I'm sure you run into some of your former Iowa State, you know, teammates every now and then. Are they surprised to find out that you are coaching basketball?
Yeah, they are. Yep. But even back in those days, we used to play pickup basketball all the time, and we had intramurals teams, and we'd always try to go to the basketball games. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that were into those similar situations that were great basketball players, and we all just loved the game still. So we still found ways to play even though we were all football players in college.
We've always been doing it for a while now, so you must really enjoy it. Do you have any aspirations to become a head coach someday, or do you really like the situation here?
I like the situation where I'm at right now. You know, I don't work in the school district, so it's not the easiest thing to do, probably, to be a head coach and work outside, you know, a district or have a teaching position. But, you know, I have two young boys, so, I like to enjoy my family time too. But, yeah, I just love the assistant role, getting to, you know the players and whatnot. So, yeah, I'm happy where I'm at. So.
Well, I know earlier this season, after you guys beat Johnston the first time, Coach Fontana mentioned that you had the responsibility for the scouting report for that game. So do you and all the other assistants just kind of split up, you know, those duties and rotate those responsibilities?
Right, yeah. Yep, that's what we do. Exactly that way. We basically divide them up by three, myself and Coach Harp and Coach Sandquist. And we kind of go from there. And I know on that first game against Johnston, yeah, we obviously Bobby came from there. He knew their system, but he just wanted to get more of an outside perspective. So mm-hmm. I kind of, you know, obviously I think a lot of the things that he knew about his former team is – kind of things that, you know, we meshed on and we're going to concentrate on when we played them. So
who had the scouting report for the first Dowling game?
Not me.
All right. Well, in terms of practices, where do you spend a lot of your time? Do you work with the post players a lot?
Yeah. Yep. So I work with the post players a lot. And then sometime, like Coach Harp, I bring my jersey too. If the other team has a decent big guy, I'll get out there and play. But yeah, working with the post guys, and then do a lot of the scout team prep stuff with Coach Harp. You know, just try to give our varsity guys the best look we can, and then I'll spend a lot of time too on the offensive side of the ball, just getting that ready for Coach Fontana, kind of the game plan and different man specials and stuff that we want to run. So,
well, certainly both Mike and Cody have taken huge steps forward, you know, this year. So can you take any credit for, you know, their development this year?
No, not at all. No, they've had a great year, and you know, I've been around those guys since I think eighth grade is when I first saw them and started working with them. And I couldn't ask for two better players, but it's not just those two guys, too. I mean, you got Carter Kester and Brady Peterson, who probably could play or start on a lot of teams in our conference. And those guys bring it every day, and they push these guys to get better. So, you know, those four guys, it's been a joy this year. I just hope we can keep it rolling.
Sure. Well, like I mentioned to Micah, you guys were coming off a 9-13 season last year. You know, this has to be one of the biggest turnarounds in the state in recent years. You know, did you have any idea that you guys were on the cusp of having the type of season that you're having?
Yeah, man, I think it's a testament to how hard these guys work. My mindset is, I guess, being a competitor, I think every time I get on a court or a field, I expect to win. So I try to emulate that mindset, I guess, with our guys. So this year, I think that's been one of our big focuses, is when we step on that court that we have confidence in our preparation and our skill level and taking that out there and just trying to win every game that way. So,
well, you guys got off to a 6-0 start that included some nice road wins over Valley, Johnston, and Ames, but then you had the hiccup at Dowling after Christmas. Do you think maybe that loss, though, was good for the team in the long run?
Right, yeah, man. I think anytime you lose, you know, it leads you to a lot of reflection. And, you know, they exploited us on a few things, and they really gave us a taste of our own medicine. You know, they were more physical with us. They killed us on the rebounds. I think they beat us on a 35-20. So the next time we played them, we made sure that was an emphasis. We printed off a couple posters, hung them in the gym when we were practicing. We, you know, obviously made that an emphasis. So it was nice to come back and play them again and play well.
Well, of course, you guys have been unbeaten since. You've won 12 straight games, including a pair of wins over Ankeny. You also had that impressive 78-70 victory at Waukee that really wasn't as close as the final score because you guys led by double digits most of the way. You know, do you think that game really showed what this team is capable of?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, some of the opponents that we've played this year are very, very good and very, very skilled. And to go on the road in this league and even the conference that we're in, it's just a testament of how hard our guys play and how they've been able to execute and just keep getting better every day. And that's something that we're striving for, is just working on the small things, because, you know, those small things are going to lead to big things eventually. So,
well, I don't foresee you guys losing any of these last three games to close out the regular season. And regardless, you're going to be the number one seed in your sub-state bracket. But how important do you think it is to keep this momentum going into the postseason?
Yeah, it's definitely important. I guess for me, I'll give you the coaching saying I'm worried about Urbandale on Friday. So, and then even if you want to back it before that, I'm trying to figure out and how we can get better tomorrow in practice. So,
sure,
you know, that'll be huge. So, just, you know, I guess keeping our vision short and working from there. So,
one day at a time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Ben, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. I want to thank all my guests again for coming in tonight. Really appreciate it on this cold, snowy night. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at MikeStanbro, that's STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.